To you today. My scripture is in Romans 14, starting at verse 10. But you, why do you judge your brothers, or you again, why do you regard your brothers with contempt? For we will all stand before the judgment seat of God. For it is written, as I live, say the Lord, every knee shall bow to me, and every tongue shall give praise to God. So then each of us will give an account of himself to God. Therefore, let us not judge one another anymore, but rather determine this, not to put an obstacle or a stumbling block in a brother's way. I know and am convinced in the Lord Jesus that nothing is unclean in itself. But to him who thinks anything to be unclean, to him it is unclean. For if because of your food your brother is hurt, you are no longer walking according to love. Do not destroy with your food him for whom Christ died. Therefore, do not let what is for you a good thing be spoken of as evil. For the kingdom of God is not eating and drinking, but righteousness and peace and joy in the Holy Spirit. Bow with me in prayer. Heavenly Father, Lord, we thank you for this wonderful Sabbath day. And each one that's here, and we ask your blessings on them, the ones that are listening by way of the internet. Heavenly Father, open their minds and their hearts to receive what you have for them this blessed day. And in Yeshua's name we ask, and amen. My text is taken from verse 14, 15, 20, and 23. So let's take another look at those. Romans 14 and go to 14. I know and am convinced in the Lord Jesus that nothing is unclean in itself. But to him who thinks anything to be unclean, to him it is unclean. For if because of food your brother is hurt, you are no longer walking according to love, do not destroy with your food him for whom Christ died. Down to 20. Do not tear down the work of God for the sake of food. All things indeed are clean, but they are evil for the man who eats and gives offense. 23. But he who doubts is condemned if he eats, because his eating is not from faith. And whatever is not from faith is sin. My message to you today is entitled, Why Eat Anything? Do you know that there's people that actually eat anything and everything? And some things would be things that you have never eaten and you never would eat. On these shows on TV, reality shows or survival shows or whatever, you see them eat all kind of things, and it seems to be rather repulsive, but I'd say probably most Americans don't really give it a whole lot of thought other than, you know, how gross. You know, what would be the taste of that? Oh. And we understand that. Are we to understand from these scriptures that I read that all that exists is good and pure to eat? And you see that that is a legitimate question from the verses that I read, including my scripture reading. Is nothing really unclean now to eat? If you think anything is good to eat, is it really? Are we to be happy if we don't condemn ourselves in what we approve to be eaten? If we don't doubt but have faith in anything that we eat, that it is okay, good, clean, pure now for us to eat. If we have faith in anything we eat, then we can eat anything and not sin. One of those verses that I read to you suggests that, if you take the verse alone. First, what is sin? Sin in 1 John 3 and 4, sin is transgression of the law. Breaking the law of God. What the law, what the word says, the law, what God says is sin or not sin. We sin when we don't do what the word tells us to do. What God says is righteous or unrighteous, holy or unholy, clean or unclean. And we read in 1 John 5 and 17, let's look at that, 1 John 5 and 17. All unrighteousness is sin, and there is a sin not leading to death. I want you to focus on that all sin, all unrighteousness is sin. That means simply disobeying what God has set forth, disobeying God's law. The wages of sin, what do you think of when you hear that expression? The wages of sin. Is that not saying what you get for? What you receive for sinning? The wages of sin is death. Romans 6 and 23. Let's go back to the beginning of time, the beginning of God's Word. At creation, did God make all living things good? God did make all living creatures good, and God saw that it was good. Now listen, God never said or saw that all creatures was good to eat. God never said or saw that all creatures were good to eat, or that they were blessed by Him as food to eat. Leviticus 10, 10 and 11. Let's look at those. Leviticus 10, 10 and 11. And so as to make a distinction between the holy and the profane, and between the unclean and the clean. And so as to teach the sons of Israel all the statutes which the Lord has spoken to them through Moses. The question then, is this just for the sons of God, the sons of Israel, that this was spoken to? Does that exclude you and mainstream Christianity today, no matter what church you go to? Does this exclude you? The scriptures lets us know that you are a son of Israel. As you accept Yeshua, Jesus Christ of Nazareth, as your Lord and Savior, and you accept that He is the one that paid the ultimate sacrifice by shedding His blood for your sins. Let's go to Galatians 3, 26 through 29. Are you then a son of Israel? Just as Leviticus 10 and 10 is spoken of. For you are all sons of God through faith in Christ Jesus. For all of you who were baptized unto Christ have clothed yourself with Christ. There is neither Jew or Greek. There is neither slave nor free man. There is neither male nor female. For you are all one in Christ Jesus. And if you belong to Christ, then you are Abraham's descendants, heirs according to the promise. Do you remember in the beginning of the Bible that you had the patriarchs of Israel, Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob, and leading up to David and on to Jesus Christ, Yeshua? Do you remember the blessing that they received from God? That they would set their hearts on and their mind and their hopes? That they would be blessed above all nations of the earth. And all other nations would be blessed because of them. Because the blessing of God was on them, and they would be multiplied as the sand of the sea or the sand of the beach. In other words, you couldn't count them. They would be so blessed of God and multiplied upon the earth. Leviticus chapter 11, all of it, identifies clean and unclean food for God's sons and daughters, His family. So it's either clean or unclean for you to accept and eat as food. Did God, in reading your Bible, did God, is it spoken of Him as ever eating anything unclean? To any knowledgeable person in the Bible, they would say, how ridiculous, how preposterous. God would never do anything like that, for He is holy. He would never eat and did never eat any unclean thing. Now, did Jesus of Nazareth, have you ever read anywhere in God's Word, all of the New Testament, that Jesus ever put anything into His mouth that was unclean? No. So we've got two no's going. Did Paul ever eat anything unclean? Can you find it in God's Word? No. What about Peter or the other disciples? Anything ever said about them eating anything unclean? No. What about the first Christians and the first churches, can you ever find that any of them ever ate anything as food that was categorized by God as unclean? No. Remember Peter? And Peter said in reply to the voice that spoke to him from heaven, as the sheet was let down from heaven with all manners of creatures in there, both clean and unclean, and the voice came from heaven to Peter saying, kill and eat. Now, what was Peter's response? Let's look at Acts 11 and 8. Acts 11 and 8. Peter said, but I said, by no means, Lord, for nothing unholy or unclean has ever entered my mouth. Are you getting the picture? No one. None of God's family children ever put into their mouth and ate and had been approved by God. None of them put unclean or ate unclean or put unclean things into their mouth. And Peter was one of those, and when he realized that what that vision was going on, that was his reply to the voice that said to Peter, kill and eat. What is the voice saying to us today? Is it saying it's all right to eat anything and everything you want, as long as you say a prayer over it, as long as you give thanks for it, it's okay, go ahead on. I don't think that's what God's Word is saying to us anywhere. Let's look at 2 Corinthians 6 and 17. It's saying to us, don't you even touch something unclean. 2 Corinthians 6 and 17. Therefore, come out from their midst and be you separate, says the Lord. Do not touch what is unclean, and I will welcome you. Is the insinuation there that if you do, he won't welcome you? Let's look at Revelation 18 and 2. And he cried out with a mighty voice, saying, fallen, fallen is Babylon the Great. She has become a dwelling place of demons, and a prison of every unclean spirit, and a prison of every unclean and hateful bird. Being clean or unclean is just as prevalent in the New Testament as it is the Old. And if you take the whole of what the Word of God says in your eating, our classification is what is good for food for you to put in your mouth, there is no difference. Everything agrees. It's either clean or it's unclean for food. I want to point out to you some places in the New Testament to fully and completely examine and study because some mainstream Christianity would take these verses and distort them and misinterpret them. Take a verse here, a verse there, and establish a doctrine on it. That's a bad thing to do. Bad thing to lead others to do, or to teach others in that regard. Let's look at Romans chapter 14. Now, I'm pointing out places that you need to really study carefully and not just superficially. Romans chapter 14. Now accept the one who is weak in faith, but not for the purpose of passing judgment on his opinions. One person has faith that he may eat all things, but he who is weak eats vegetables only. My point to you is this. Read and study the whole thing. Don't just take one verse and form an opinion on that. This whole chapter is talking about vegetarians versus non-vegetarians. It's not talking about now things have changed and you may eat things that were unclean are now clean. That's not what it's talking about. Look at it from the perspective of exactly what it says. Vegetarians versus unvegetarians. And notice that it is speaking of one who is weak in the faith. Do you see why it's describing it this way? Okay. So anybody tries to pick and choose verses out of that chapter, Romans chapter 14, I want you to know better. I want you to see more of the truth that God has for you to really see there. Vegetarians versus non-vegetarians. Okay, let's go to 1 Corinthians chapter 8. In verse 1, now concerning things sacrificed to idols, we know that we all have knowledge. Knowledge makes arrogance, but love edifies. If anyone supposes that he knows anything, he has not yet known as he ought to know. But if anyone loves God and is known by God, that is known by him, therefore, concerning the eating of things sacrificed to idols, we know that there is no such thing as an idol in the world, and that there is no God but one. If anyone ever tells you of a God that anyone other than the ever living creator God of Abraham, Isaac, Jacob, David, up to Yeshua, Jesus Christ of Nazareth, you know the intent of the Word of God is to let you know there is no other God. And you should know that. There is but the living God of Abraham, Isaac, Jacob, David, and Yeshua. Let's look at chapter 10 and start at 19. Chapter 10 of 1 Corinthians 19. What do I mean then? That a thing sacrificed to idols is anything, or that is an idol is anything? No, but I say that the things which the Gentiles sacrifice, they sacrifice to demons and not to God. And I do not want you to become sharers and demons. These particular verses is talking about, and the subject is, clean food that is sacrificed in worship to and honor of idols. Talking about clean food, but it's offered as a sacrifice to idols. Let's look at verse 13 of, I think it's chapter 8. Therefore, or in summary of, if food causes my brother to stumble, I will never eat meat again, so that I will not cause my brother to stumble. And as a general kind of sum up statement, Paul is saying, regardless of anything concerning food, if your brother or sister is going to be weakened by seeing you eat, and their faith is that not like yours, if it involves your brother or sister, it would be better for you not to eat anything, even if you knew it was clean. Even if you knew all of these things, don't do anything concerning the eating of food or drinking of drink that would cause your brother or sister to stumble. And of course, it's insinuated that you are doing this right in their presence, and they don't quite look on each and every matter the way you would, and they would take it offensively, and they would be hurt by it, and their faith might would be weakened by it if they seen you do that. So Paul is saying, don't do it to your brother or your sister. Let's go to Colossians 2 and verse 16. Therefore, no one is to act as your judge in regard to food or drink, or in respect to a festival, or a new moon, or a Sabbath day. Now, to whom is this talking? Let's look at verse 1 of that. Well, all the way back to 1:1. Colossians 1:1. Paul, an apostle of Jesus Christ by the will of God, and Timothy, our brother. Now here's this, who this letter is to. To the saints and faithful brethren in Christ who are at Colossae, grace to you and peace from God the Father. This is talking about and to your brothers and sisters. People that believe like you do. Perhaps go to the same church that you do. Brethren. Brethren who obviously have always kept the clean and the unclean dietary laws of God's holy word. People want to distort some of these verses that I'm bringing to you and tell you they mean something that obviously they don't, because this particular verse was said to the faithful ones at Colossae who were very obviously keeping the dietary laws. And it was saying to them, don't let anyone judge you in food, in drink, in keeping of the festivals and holy days and Sabbath, new moon. Colossians 2:16. Don't let outsiders judge you in these. You're not to even let your mind or heart focus on what other people say to you about what your belief is concerning the Sabbath, festival days, and what it says in that particular word. Let's go to look at what Paul said in Romans 7:12. And remember, my scripture reading to you had all those things that seemed to suggest something that I'm explaining to you is not what the intent is. But yet people distort Paul's writings to their own destruction. Paul says in Romans 7:12, so then, the law is holy, and the commandment is holy and righteous and good. That seems to contradict what you're thinking perhaps was when I read my scripture reading and the text that I read to you. And what mainstream Christianity believes and teaches today. It directly contradicts it. Paul says the law is holy, and the commandment is holy, and righteous and good. Now let's look at verse 16. Paul says, but if I do the very thing I do not want to do, but if I do the very thing I do not want to do, I agree with the law, confessing that the law is good. Did Paul speak against the law of God and say contrary and contradictory things? Only in our mind. And our interpretation, only in the teachers and the ministers of mainstream Christianity today that teach you these contrary things. But I want you to study and get the truth out of these yourself. Paul says the law is good. He says, I agree with the law. It's good. Now let's see what Yeshua, Jesus Christ of Nazareth, says in Matthew 5:17-20. And this is in conclusion. But I want you to get the point, because mainstream Christianity, in regard to dietary laws, festival days or feast days, weekly Sabbath days, worship days, mainstream Christianity teaches you just the opposite. But Jesus says in Matthew 5, starting at 17, do not think that I came to abolish the law or the prophets. I did not come to abolish, but to fulfill. For truly I say to you, until heaven and earth pass away, not the smallest stroke, letter or stroke shall pass from the law until all is accomplished. Whosoever then annuls one of the least of these commandments and teaches others to do the same shall be called least in the kingdom of heaven. But whosoever keeps and teaches them, he shall be called great in the kingdom of heaven. For I say to you that unless your righteousness surpasses that of the scribes and the Pharisees, you will not enter the kingdom of heaven. And let's look at, I believe we can stop right there. You see what Yeshua, Jesus Christ of Nazareth, had to say about whether the law or the prophets were still in effect. And the principles that they taught was still good and still for us to do if this is the commandments that have been taught from the beginning and was part of the law of God. If you would, stand to your feet with me this morning. And I want us to bow our heads in prayer. Heavenly Father, we thank you for this message today. And we thank you that it should be perfectly clear of the clean and the unclean concerning food that is to be eaten or food that is to be put in your mouth or taken into your body. We know that the law is still in effect and binding. Nothing has changed. What is clean now was clean at the beginning. And just the opposite. Clean is clean, unclean is still unclean. And Heavenly Father, send your Holy Spirit to lead and guide us in our interpretation of these scriptures. And let our guidance be from you and the Holy Spirit that you send to lead and guide us and to teach us. And Heavenly Father, the thanks we give to you is for this message to all those who are in our congregation and who hear this by way of internet or however the other means might be. And through Yeshua's name and the blood that he shed for us in remission of our sins and entering into God's family, Heavenly Father, in his name, we thank you and amen. Let's all read the blessings, the good blessing of God to us and us to each other. The Lord bless you and keep you. The Lord make his face shine on you and be gracious to you. The Lord lift up his countenance on you and give you peace. Wonderful words. I'm going to ask Bob.